Okay. So this, as I said, is the workshop on faithfulness. And I jokingly said that they picked me because I've done more of these seminars than probably anybody else in this room. No, not. But I think this is my 33rd or 34th. I missed one seminar since I started here because I was too pregnant to come. And that was a long time ago. But let's pray and then we'll get started on our workshop. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for letting us come here today and allowing these wonderful speakers to be here. Father, we have already learned so much today, and we just pray that this workshop will be an honor to you, Lord, that we will glean much from it and that we will understand your word more. Father, we thank you for these ladies that have come today, and we ask that you be in their hearts and touch their hearts today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So those that don't know me, my name is Chris Bennett. As I said, I have been in this church since, I think, 1984. So it's a long time. I had prayed that the Lord would send me to the right church because we were just moving to this area. And I prayed, God, please send me to the right church. I want to be where you want me, because where I was coming from, frankly, there weren't any good churches. There are lots of churches, but there weren't any good churches that preached the word. So to be honest with you, I went to the laundromat the next day after I had moved in. I had two children at the time, two boys, went to the laundromat, and this cute little old lady came up to me. She's now obviously in heaven with the Lord. It was Mrs. Broderson, those of you that remember Mrs. Broderson. She walked up to me and she said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I looked at her and said, "I'm washing clothes. How can you tell that?" And she said, "I could tell by the way that you talk to your kids." And I thought, thank you, Lord, that my kids were behaving. They thought going to the laundromat was pretty cool, though, so because they'd never done it before. So I looked at it. I was just shocked. And she said, "Where do you go to church?" And I said, "Well, we just moved here yesterday, and I don't have a church home yet." So she invited me here. And I thought, the Lord hit me over the head, and he has not hit me again to leave. So that was truly how he brought me here, was that sweet little lady who I came in and sat next to her, and that was in our old building, and we've been here ever since. So I have three grown sons. They're scattered all over the country. I'm blessed to have the one that has children lives here. The rest of them don't, so I'm very fortunate. I have two wonderful daughters-in-law, and one of them actually is one of the vendors, the one that has the personalized baby clothes and little pictures. That's my wonderful daughter-in-law, Tabitha. And they have three beautiful children. I also have twin daughters, one that is married to a Washington, D.C. police officer. They live right outside of Washington, D.C., and one that works for Bob Jones University. She's on staff down there. So that's it. My other sons, one lives in New York City and travels all over the world for work, which is wonderful now that he's, you know, while he's still single, and one that lives in Oregon, which makes for a great vacation place to go. So that's a little bit about me. I teach an adult ladies Sunday school class here at Emmanuel, and I love it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about faithfulness. Okay, and I just want to have a question for you. Have any of you ever planned a wedding recently or been part of a wedding planning recently and thought about, oh, so much that goes into that planning of that wedding? My daughter got married, as I said, she's married to a police officer. She got married about 3-4 years ago. I've lost track now. And I remember her planning for that wedding even before the actual engagement started. She knew that he was the right one. She knew that she was going to be wanting to marry this man, and so she is in her mind planning. So she's planning everything from what dress she would wear, what food we would eat, where she would go on her honeymoon, what shoes she would wear. Everything was planned, right? I have a picture here. This is just a copy I've made of a picture. This is my cute little daughter here. This is my son, Greg, because I didn't tell you I was a single parent. My husband left when the twins were three. My daughters are twins, and so they were 3 years old when he left, and we haven't heard from him since. So, but God is so good. God is so faithful. She was with her brother. Her brother was going to walk her down the aisle. So they're standing back here in the corner, peeking out, waiting to walk down the aisle. And she was waiting for just the right moment. She had planned and planned and planned and planned. And you know what that's like, to just do that. It just, it's incredible. And why am I talking about that? Because that, what has that got to do with faithfulness? Well, I'll tell you why. We plan and plan and plan for a wedding, for the wedding day, which maybe lasts, what, 3-4 hours? That you're here and that you're celebrating with your friends and your family, and then it's over. But how long is eternity? And how much planning do we do for eternity? Eternity is eternity. It's eternal. It's forever, forever. And we need to make sure that we're ready. And first of all, of course, salvation is our first step to getting ready for eternity. But are we willing to put any of the effort and the time that we put into a big event like a wedding into something that's going to last forever? I mean, even when you think about a marriage that you maybe could be married, I don't know, you could be married 60 or 70 years, or maybe even longer. I don't know. People are living longer now. Still, it can't compare to eternity. So we need to remember that one of the things to do to prepare for eternity is to be faithful. But what does it mean to be faithful? So I looked it up in the dictionary. The dictionary has faithful as an adjective, which means adhering firmly, devotedly. Just like maybe to a person, you're faithful to a cause, or you're faithful to an idea. Or it could mean responsible, conscientious, like the faithful discharge of his duties, you might say about someone. Or it could be dependable. The faithful engine started right up. That reminds me of a children's story. The faithful engine started right up. Or it could be consistent with truth or actuality, such as a faithful reproduction of a portrait. Knowing that, what that means, do you know any faithful people? Do you have an example in your mind of a person? How about Paul? Paul is like my favorite Bible character. Do you have a favorite Bible character? Paul is my favorite Bible character. And the reason that he is because he thought he was doing right. He thought he was a great person. He thought he was doing just what God wanted him to do until God showed him the right way. And then he was able to convert and do what God actually wanted him to do. And I think that's what a lot of us are doing. Obviously, we're not killing Christians, but what's the difference? Sin is sin is sin is sin, right? It's all the same. And we were doing what we thought we were supposed to be doing until God let us know. I'm tugging on our hearts and calling us to be his child. But think about people in your real life, not just Bible characters. Do you know any real live faithful people? I'm sure you do. One of my favorites is in heaven now. And if you've come to this seminar a few times, you'll remember Lois Schwanke. Mm-hmm. Lois Schwanke was my mentor, my friend. And God blessed me with, when I first came to Emmanuel, he put me in her class to help work. She was teaching third and fourth graders. And I'll tell you, I learned more in her Sunday school class than I ever learned in my life going to church. She taught me the Bible like unbelievable. While she was teaching those third and fourth graders, I'm like taking notes and learning things and going, this is amazing. And I also learned how to teach because she was excited about teaching. So it was easy to learn how to teach from her because she just loved it so much. And she did it for over 50 years. She taught Sunday school for over 50 years. She stayed faithful no matter what. No matter how she wasn't feeling well, or her husband was ill, or whatever happened, she stayed faithful. It was truly my joy to be able to call her my friend, and to be able to call her my mentor. And I often think, I wonder if she knew what an example of a faithful woman she was to me and how I looked up to her. I don't know if I ever told her. I maybe have. I don't know. But I wonder if she knew that. Stop and think for a minute. Is your life right now an example of a faithful? Can someone say, I know that girl. I know that lady. She's faithful. She's an example of faithful. As you think about your life, would you want someone to use your life as faithful? Do you want that? You know, it's funny, I think. I wonder if my parents thought about that when they named me. My middle name is Faith. Christine Faith. So I have to be faithful. It's required, right? But in this world today, names don't matter much. I mean, names are just names. People come up with names because they sound good or they think they're pretty, or they sometimes even make up words to become names. But in Bible time, the name was a description. The name wasn't just an identifier. It was a person's essential character, their essence. So in the terms of their name, it would matter. Their parents would give them a name that would deeply matter to them. Not just who they were, but who they were deeply as a person. For us to be faithful to God's name is vital because His name means faithful. The wholeness of our identity, not just, hi, my name is Christine Faith Bennett, but everything, the definition of me, is in God first. It's above my family. It's above my education. It's above my resume. It's above my profession. My identity is in God first. As a child of God, created in His image, and even though I've sinned and have damaged that relationship with God sometimes, He's forgiven me. And because of that, I'm becoming more like Him. If this is my identity, not Christine, the mother of three sons and twin daughters that attends Emmanuel Baptist Church and lives in Connecticut, my identity is Christine, a Christian, in God first. That's what it means to be faithful to God's name. God's name, faithfulness, is absolute loyalty, reliability, consistency in your commitments to the Bible. That's what He wants, and to God. Being faithful is rooted in the character of God because God is faithful. His promises are true, and we can trust them. We can trust them despite how we feel or think. God calls us to faithfulness. And we continue in our faithfulness to the Word, to the body of Christ, to the ministry, because we deeply trust in who He is and what He's done. We stay faithful by consistently refreshing ourselves with these realities. And anybody would fall away from, and if you neglect this, you're going to fall away from the cross. But does that seem like an unobtainable task? It kind of does, that we're going to always remain loyal, trusting. It sometimes can be an unobtainable task to us. But with those basics down, let's talk about some practical ways that we can practice being faithful so that we can cultivate the growing of our faith. First and foremost, the first thing we have to do to be faithful is get out of bed. Okay? And what I mean by that is simply start by doing what God's called you to do today. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's not here yet. You need to begin by being faithful where you are. That's a matter of mindset and a matter of discipline. It's sort of like the person that says, God, I'd be happy to tithe. Just give me more money so that I can tithe. Have you ever thought that or heard that? We've all thought it. You know, like, Lord, I'd love to give to that offering. Give me more money to that. We can't promise faithfulness if we're not faithful now. Just like You can't promise to tithe on more money if you're not tithing on what you have now. The Lord is very interested in the small things that we do. And if he can't count on you to do the small things, how's he going to trust you with the big things? The second thing we want to remember is to spend time with God in God's Word. Do you treasure the Scriptures? All the Scriptures, even the ones that are not your favorite part, like Numbers. Numbers is so complicated sometimes. You need to preach the gospel to yourself every day by meditating on his finished work on the cross. Sometimes as women, we have to be a little creative in this area, because a lot of us use a crying baby as an alarm clock. Now, I'm done with that phase, but some of you still are there. And you don't want to give God bad time. So maybe first thing in the morning isn't the best time for you. You could try to get up a little bit earlier, but you never really know with a crying baby in the house. Some days you might need more time than others. So you could spend some time maybe after the kids go to school or later in the day. My time was after supper. When the dishes were done, the house was quiet, I would sit in the corner of the couch, and that would be my time to read the Bible. My kids knew this, and that didn't mean that they were quieter around me, but they knew that that's what I was doing. And remember one thing, whenever you're doing something, you're teaching something. I didn't even realize this at the time, but my kids grew up and they would say to me, "We know that Bible reading is important. We see you do it every day." And I thought, oh yeah, that's true. So everything we do is an example to our children. So we need to remember that. My spot on the couch was there, but the house was not always quiet. So I learned to tune other things out. To this day, I study better if there's noise going on in the background. Sometimes I'll turn the television on and not even watch it, but just have that noise when I'm facing this way and it's over here. It just helps me focus, I think. I don't know. You don't always have to hide away in the closet. Sometimes for prayer times, you want to hide away in the closet and do that later, you know, without distractions. But and another thing, too, and I meant to bring this with me, speaking of forgetting things, as she said in there, I have a little promise book. Do you ever see one of those little promise books? Mm-hmm. Oh, darn, I wish I'd brought it. They're little red ones. My kids actually got these when they graduated from high school. Everything it's in categories. It's like there's a category for faith, a category for fear, a category for worry. And then it just lists bunches of verses. And I carry it with me all the time, because sometimes at work, I need a verse, because it's something's making me crazy, or someone's making me crazy, or there's stuff going on that I know I shouldn't be listening to, that's, you know, maybe a little gossip or something or some off-color joke or something. So it's great to grab that little verse, that little book, and just open it up and just read a little bit. I also have the Bible on my work computer. Don't tell the state of Connecticut, okay? But I do have the Bible on my work computer, and I will pull it down sometimes when I need a verse just to get me through that worry time of day. So that was number two. Now number three is worship God and make church a priority. Do you love to come to church? I love to come to church. Yeah, it's so wonderful to fellowship in God's home. You need to be in God's house whenever the doors are open, if at all possible. And I know things happen, you know, especially if you have little ones in the house. But don't be the reason that things happen. Don't be the person that plans the 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon family party. Don't be that person. And don't sign your kids up for sports programs. I'm going to get yelled at here. Don't sign your kids up for sports programs that practice and play on Sunday. I was the mother that never allowed my kids to play travel sports, even though I had a son who was 6'5", and the team wanted him, and I didn't allow it, because they traveled on Sunday and they played on Sunday, and they knew that they couldn't play those sports. I was the mom that said, no, No football, because football always plays on Sunday. So that was it. And you know what? They grew up just fine. They played enough. I know, I'm sorry, Duke didn't call and neither did North Carolina, but, you know, they probably weren't going to call anyway. But maybe they were, I don't know. But anyway, that's important. It's important that your kids know. It's important that you know that this is the priority. You know, when my girls got into high school, they got a job at Friendly's. Friendly's is open all the time. And with every new manager that came into Friendly's, they had to say, I'm sorry, I don't work on Wednesdays and Sundays. And that was usually fine until something came up and they'd say, please, just this one day, you can come after church and you can leave, you know, before your evening service. Don't do it. Because the minute you do it once, they're going to say, hey, you did it once, come again. But no, in fact, the best thing that ever happened to them was they finally got a Christian manager in the Friendly's that they worked in. And he said, okay, no problem, I understand. That was the only time that ever happened. It got so crazy, they even said to them at one time, you know, we'll be happy to transfer to a different Friendly's if it doesn't work out for you. But going with that, you also have to be the employee that they want you to be when you're there. Now, I know grown-up jobs, sometimes you have to work Sundays. As I told you, my son-in-law is a police officer. He goes to work on the midnight shift right now. He goes to work Saturday night, comes home Sunday morning, puts his suit on, goes to church, runs the children's church program in his church, goes home, crashes. She doesn't see him for the rest of the day. But, and there are times when he can't do that. There are times when he gets stuck at work. And that's acceptable. Of course, that's going to happen. But it's important to be here. It's important to be here just because you need to be fed. And when you are here, be a part of it. Don't just come in, go to church, and leave. Be a friend. Make sure your heart is right and ready to receive God's words. And fellowship after church. You yourself can get a lot of encouragement and a lot of comfort by the other people here. So remember, the New Testament calls the church the body of Christ. We are one unit, united in the body of Christ. And let's remember number four. Recognize that all that you do is an act of worship to God. So don't feel guilty about devoting time to little things that maybe seem less important, because everything is important that you're doing. Not every task that you have is going to be, you know, epic. Not everything is. But all that you do for the Lord is a kind of worship. Did you catch that? All that you do for the Lord. I said, all that you do for the Lord. Everything. Doesn't mean that you're working on Sunday school things or whatever. All that you do. So therefore, whatsoever you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. As believers, everything we do is an act of worship because we serve God. So think about everything you do. Do all to the glory of God. When I'm doing a task that isn't fun or it's made me tedious and I don't want to do it and my attitude's going down a little bit, I try to imagine what I would say or do if suddenly I was face to face with the Lord at that moment. If he just came here. Now I know he's here and I know he knows everything that I'm doing. But something about, I guess because I have a very strange imagination. If I picture him actually standing there in front of me, would he be pleased with my actions, with what I was doing? Am I sitting watching TV when I should be doing something else? Would he be pleased with me? And there's nothing wrong with watching TV. I mean, I enjoy all the cooking shows and all the homemaking shows and all that stuff too. But if it comes like you're doing that all day long and nothing else is getting done, then that's a problem. But when I think of him standing in front of me, I think twice about how my attitude is. And I think twice about what I'm doing. When he shows me the scars on his hand, and I remember what he paid so that I could be free. It makes me want to work harder and do more for him. When I'm teaching, for example, I want to reevaluate things when I picture him in front of me. Like when I'm teaching, am I teaching at my best? Am I totally prepared for the class that day? Am I loving my class? Everyone in my class? Not just the easy to love ones? Am I giving my all to them? Everything that I should be giving? And when I'm in church and I'm sitting and I'm singing and I'm listening and the message starts, is my mind focused on what I should be listening to? Or am I thinking about what I'm going to be doing later or what I'm going to make for lunch? Or is my mind wandering? Is my heart ready? You know, we get up and we go to church on Sunday morning. It's a routine. It's a habit. And we sit down and we're ready to go and we've just sit there. But is your heart ready? We have to remember that we should always take a few minutes before we sit down to church, before we sit in that pew, or even just as we sit in that pew, and just get your heart ready. Clear your thoughts, clear your mind, because like I said, I have a great imagination. My mind will go anywhere. I have an attention span of like a first grader. So, you know, if someone over here moves, I'm like, So I sit in the fourth row so that all this stuff can happen behind me. So I'm not doing one of these watching. So a big one for me, too, is after the service, when it's over, it's all done, and we're walking toward the door. Am I aware of the other people around me? Am I aware? Do I even notice if there's a visitor? Do I even notice if somebody looks like they're hurting when all they need maybe is a hug or the hi or something? You know, people are lonely nowadays, and we need to remember that when we're walking out after church, that's just as important as sitting there listening. We need to be there and listen. And I have to remember I'm always on God's time. So when I'm walking out at the end of the day, am I thinking, at the end of the service, am I thinking about what I'm going to make for lunch? Or am I realizing that I'm on God's time? And that's one that I really need to focus on myself. Because sometimes I think, okay, church is done, my Sunday school is done, my church is done, and I've sung in the choir, now I'm ready to go home. I'm just thinking, I'm just going to go and relax before my back to work tomorrow. And you have to remember that when I'm here, all that I do is an act of worship to God. Nothing we do, not thinking a good thought, not saying a good word, not doing a good thing for someone, nothing is done without Christ, without His Spirit, His grace, and His strength. So we want to stay close to Him. And we want to make sure that everything we're focusing on, we're focusing correctly. And we're just not like going through the motions, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, going to church for us, because we do it 3 times a week, we're going to church. And our neighbors see us go to church. And our neighbors see us come home. And have you said hi to that neighbor before you go into church and going home? You know, we have to remember that. It's more than just an act. There's a reason. So cultivating faithfulness is like putting the right potting soil in the perfect pot to grow a healthy, vibrant plant. And that's what we're working toward. We should cultivate faithfulness in our marriage, in our children, in our business, in our ministry, and in all those people that God puts in our path. But are we cultivating faithfulness in all those areas of our life? What if I told you it's impossible to cultivate faithfulness without one thing? There's one thing. And I'm going to give you one more point that will help you show you the one thing. But we're going to have a little bit of fun to do it. For the last point, we're going to have a sword drill. Remember sword drills? Do y'all know what a sword drill is?
No.
You don't know what a sword drill is. You know, unless you didn't grow up in a church like this. A sword drill is, I give out a Bible reference. Do you have your Bible with you?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm going to give a Bible reference, and the first person that finds that reference stands up and reads it. That's all the story goes. The kids do it in their Awana programs and things like that downstairs. Your daughter will be doing it a lot when she... Yes, she starts reading more and more. She'll be doing sword drills. So when you read the verse, I'm going to write it on the board. And then we're going to find out what the very last point is. And if we do this last point, we will stay focused. And I promise I didn't give you any verses with hard words in it. I promise. So the first one we're going to do is Ephesians 3:19. Aha, she has her Bible app. Ephesians 3:19. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Stand up.
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Okay, so I'm going to take one word from that verse, and that word is knowledge. Did you all hear the verse? She said it kind of softly. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled up with all the fullness of God. So knowledge was the word that I took from that verse. The next one is Philippians 1:6. Okay, go ahead.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Perfect. So, we got that verse. And I am going to take the word until out of that verse. And I'm going to put that one up there. We're going to take the word until from there. Hebrews 11:8. Hebrews 11:8. Go ahead.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went.
That's right. Okay, so Abraham obeyed. Wait, I put that until in the wrong place. Let's move until down here. And we'll put obeyed up here. Romans 12:12. You guys don't get near as excited as the kids do. Maybe I should have had a prize. Romans 12:12. Go ahead.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer,
That's good. Continuing instant in prayer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take the word prayer. Have you figured it out? Not figured it out yet? Okay. We're going to keep going. Luke 18:25.
Well, it is easier for a camel to go through
what?
A needle.
Is that right?
Is that 1825?
No. That's 1825. Yeah.
I want, didn't I just say Luke 8:25?
Oh.
Did I say 18? I'm so sorry. All right, find 8:25. And we'll still have you read it. I'm sorry. Did I say 18?
Yeah.
Clearly says 8 in my book. I'm thinking, why is she doing that? That doesn't match.
8:25 is, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they began, being afraid, wandered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the wind and water, and they obeyed.
There it is. So I'm taking one more obey out of this. Oops, that is a really strange looking bee. So we have obey, knowledge, until, pray. Ephesians 3:19.
Did that one.
Did I?
Yeah. No.
Ephesians 3:19. Oh, wow. Then we're going to have to find it again. We're going to use a different word out of it. Ephesians 3:19, go ahead.
And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Right.
And from that one, we're going to take the word.
Wait, I have the wrong reference down. Oh, yeah, no, I don't. Know the love of Christ. So,
we have all those words. We're going to take the first letter from each one.
And spell, look up. It's my favorite phrase. Do you have a favorite phrase? That's kind of goofy, I know. But look up is a special phrase in our house for a couple of reasons, and I'll tell you the first one. My daughter Tiffany, the one that lives in Washington, or outside of Washington, has been writing, doing a lot of writings, a lot of scripture writings, a lot of collection of writings that she's working on, the hopes to put it together to a book. The title of the book is Look Up. She already has the cover art and everything that one of her friends made for her. It's so pretty. He gave it to her for her wedding present. The cover of her book, and it's titled Look Up, and it's about looking up. And it's just, it's basically geared toward college-age girls, but it goes through a lot of things that happen in your life, death and different things, and just ways to deal with it. Another thing is, have you ever heard the Ron Hamilton song, Look Up? I love that song. You got to hear it. Go on YouTube and pull it up. It's a great song. The chorus says, look up, look up. The answers there are found, but you will never see them by always looking down. Look up, and soon the truth will come. The answers you are looking for are only found in God. So this is what we need to do. We need to look up. If you are always looking up, and your heart and your eyes are always focused toward God, you're going to remain faithful because He will always be the first thing that you see, the first thing in front of you. You're never going to lose your focus if you're always looking up. You know, there's that kind of phrase that went around a while ago. I don't know if it's popular anymore. What would Jesus do? It's not a bad thing. What would Jesus do? I know it got very commercialized and people were like, oh, this is just a gimmick. But think about it. What would Jesus do? It's a good thing to think about. If your eyes are always on the Lord, your thoughts will always be clear. You're not going to participate in the gossip going around beside you if you first focus on God. You're not going to pay attention to the cruel things that are happening, you know, by people in general, just bad language. I'll tell you one thing. I work in a very classy office. I work for the CEO of UConn Health. 5,000 people report to this man. And some of the people that come in there have language that you want to say, where did that come from? One girl that I work with that I adore, I said to her one day, do you talk to your kids that way? And she said, yeah, I do. Her kids are a little bit, I mean, they're high school and junior high school age, but still. And I thought to myself, that's probably why they're saying those things in school and getting in trouble. But we need to remember, if our focus is looking up, and we're thinking and focused on how God would behave or God would want us to behave in a situation, then we're not going to get tricked up by the world, and Satan's not going to be able to get a hold of us if our focus is always looking up. And I do encourage you to get that that Ron Hamilton tape. But, you know, I pulled it up on YouTube just to get the words because the CD was in my car. And I was too lazy to go to my car to get the CD. But a little personal note for you. If you're faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. I will tell you, I mentioned briefly that my husband left. My husband had an addiction to alcohol and gambling. I asked him to get help. And I said, you need to go and get help and then come back. He chose not to. He chose to just go. The Lord took care of me with five children. We went through Christian school. We didn't drive a brand new car, but you know what? Who cares? We still got to the same place as all the other people and cheaper when it needed to be fixed. I have all five of mine graduated from college. I am not tooting my own horn by any means. Many of them on scholarships. Three of them have their masters, serving the Lord in all parts of this country. I'm not bragging. But when I look back and I think, I did this because God did it. I never thought about how much money I needed or anything. I just did day by day. And I'll tell you a quick example as we wrap up. When we separated, when my husband and I separated, we went to court to do it correctly because I thought that was the right thing to do. It was just a separation, so I didn't divorce him actually until all my children were out of college. And then I only did that because a lawyer advised me to. The judge told him that he had to pay $15 a week child support. $15 a week. He never paid it. $15. I'm sitting there going, are you serious? I carried the health insurance for them because I had a job that had insurance. So we never got the $15. I mean, occasionally it would come in if he got a job that hooked up where they took it right out of his pay, but then that didn't last long and it would stop again. But I didn't miss it because it was $15. I mean, it wasn't going to pay a bill or anything. So I didn't miss it. So anyway, we went on. The girls graduated from college, and I got a phone call one Thanksgiving, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, from my now son-in-law. If I cry, forgive me. I tend to cry over this story. And it was my now son-in-law saying, Mom, I want to ask Tiffany to marry me when she comes for Thanksgiving. I knew it was coming. It wasn't like I was going to, you know, I wasn't surprised. He sent me a text picture of the ring that he had designed and had it made. And he was now, you know, he was ready. He refused to ask her until he had a good job that he could support her. So now he was ready. He was all excited. And he wanted me to know and ask my permission, which was very sweet. So I was all excited, and I texted the picture of the ring to all my girlfriends. And I said, you know, this is great. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I have to put on a wedding. I don't have any money for a wedding. And I remember sitting on my living room couch and looking up to God and saying, you've got a wedding. I can't do this. There is no way I can't do this. I'm just living paycheck to paycheck. I just had three kids graduate from college. And, you know, I can't do it. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, I came home from work, and there was a message on the phone. And my oldest son, Greg, who lives nearby, was with me. I don't remember why, but he was at the house. And so I pushed the message, and it was from my husband. And he said, I need to talk to you. I have some news for you. And I said, I don't want to call him. So, long story short, Greg said, I'll call him. I'll find out what's going on. Because both of us are thinking he's, you know, needs something. And, you know, so here's what he had to say. I'm coming into some money, and the state's taking your back's child support first and sending it to you. Thank you, Lord. There's my wedding money.
Awesome.
All taken care of. She didn't have to worry about it. And everything was paid for. So I, you know, God is faithful. His promises are true. You don't have to worry. And worrying is just nothing but causes wrinkles anyway. So, and we don't want those. So just remember, look up. God will carry you through. And then you'll be like me and look back and say, my kids are grown. They're scattered all over the country. I have great places to go for vacation. And things are peaceful and happy. Okay? So let's pray, and then we'll go back to, I guess we'll go to dinner. Yeah. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time. So thankful that we have you, that we can look up to. So thankful that you love us, Lord, and that you care for us, and that you will always carry us through. Father, we just give you our hearts and our souls. We ask you to be with us through the rest of the conference, Lord. Walk with us through the week, that we might be a testimony of your love to us, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.